Yes, people often define democracy simply in terms of a state which has elections, sometimes developed so that it's elections which are free and fair with multiple policies, multiple parties. But that's a very superficial understanding of it. The concept of democracy I've been developing, the depth of democracy, involves a much wider range of institutional forms. So, for example, that it's the state, not other bodies, that govern issues of intimacy. So that it's the state which has control over the regulation of marriage, divorce, sexuality, intimacy. That's one way of thinking about the depth of democracy. Another is in the way in which people are elected. That different electoral systems, for example, whether they're very expensive, how much money does it take to be an effective candidate? Is the electoral system first past the post, or does it have proportional representation? These institutional forms of the electoral system make a very significant difference to who gets elected. And in some places, we have a relatively high proportion of women in parliament, up to 50%. In other places, it's an extremely low percentage. A democracy is deeper if it has people participating in it, and if, for example, the parliament itself has a higher proportion, has a representative set of people elected. So that's another example, it's a second way of thinking about the depth of democracy. And the final area that I was looking at was over the extent to which the democratic principle is extended to the governance of a whole series of institutions of our lives. So if education and health are governed democratically because they're part of the public sector, then that's part of the depth of democracy. And if they're privatised, then they are taken out of the democratic arena and our democracy is made more shallow. So I have a list of 10 points which I've summarised here, all of which contain the depth of democracy, and the depth of democracy has significant implications for people's lives.